How do we know we're nearing the end times? Real life starts now.
Welcome to Real Life with evangelists Han and Kathleen Lay, where people with real problems find answers in a real God.
Welcome to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, evangelist Han Lay.
Later in the show, you'll hear from the Tide Global Radio Ministry with Don Schenk, who preaches the gospel to other nations in their native language.
I think this is a big question. Are we in the end times? Are we near the end times? Or is it the beginning? Where are we at? And you hear this amongst Christians and people, and everybody has something to say about this.
Yeah, some people say, well, it's not the end times. Everyone's always thinking it's end times, and it's not the end times.
Mm-hmm.
And there are others who are more confused. And it's like, well, how do you know? Because the billboard says it's going to be this year, May 30th. You know?
Right.
And the truth is, no one knows the day or the hour.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said it very clearly. But he also did say some things because, honestly, when people think about the end times, they think it's going to be like chaos everywhere. They're going to be like hiding in bunkers, you know?
Right.
People's like, save your water, conserve your food. It's the end times. We need to go hide and put our heads in the sand. What
right.
do you think?
Well, I think that a lot of people become very fearful when we hear of wars and rumors of wars, and these things are happening. There's earthquakes and pestilence and different things happening all throughout the world, and it's happened in history before. But even the disciples were preparing for the end times because Jesus would say it's the last hour. So we're always nearing the end times, whether it's the beginning of the end,
right.
or whether, you know, we're toward the middle or whatnot. But every day we get closer to that time. And what do we do for that? Do we run, hide, escape, try to protect and save our life? Or do we reach people in this time?
Well, there is a sign that Jesus does give that's very clear. In Matthew chapter 24, verses 14, he says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come."
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus is saying that the marker is not the events that are happening. Those are the signs of those times.
Yeah.
But how we know somewhere around is when this gospel of the kingdom is preached to the ends of the nations, then Jesus will come. So that means that the end time won't be this time where it's time to hunker down. It's a time to blitz.
Mm-hmm.
It's a time to say the time is short. It's time to get the gospel out. It's a time to get the power of the Holy Spirit moving and grooving.
Yes.
In Joel 2:28, it even talks about, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh.
Right.
What does that mean? That means in the last days, there's going to be a great harvest of souls.
And we need to get out there, not hide. We need to reach people. When we see these things happening, we need to start telling them about Jesus because the end draws near. Let's hear from Don Schenk after the break.
Real Life is made possible this week by Angel Nails and our Awakening Colorado monthly giving partners. Want the pampering you deserve? Come to Angel Nails, your one-stop shop for healthy, long-lasting nail care, including innovative, hydrating manicures and pedicures. Angel Nails is conveniently located in the Applewood Village Shopping Center at 3460 Youngfield Street in Wheat Ridge, just off I-70. Come to Angel Nails with or without an appointment or call them at 303-234-0702. That's 234-0702.
We are excited to announce our new book, Evidence, that will inspire you with real stories of people who encountered God. In a world where there are so many bad things happening, some wonder, is there a God? If there is a God, why does he allow bad things to happen? These people either didn't believe in God or turned from him and looked for help in everything but God until they had an encounter of their own that changed their lives. Order your copy of Evidence today at www.awakeningthenations.com. Welcome back to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Don Lay.
Hello, everyone.
Joining us is Don Schenk, and he is the director of the Tide Global Radio Ministry, and they just celebrated their 70th year of spreading the gospel worldwide. So let's welcome to the show, Don. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Kathleen. It's great to join you and Ann on the show today.
Yeah.
Yes. So tell me a little bit about the Tide Ministry.
The Tide Ministry started, as you just mentioned, 70 years ago in a small town in Chambersburg, Pennsylvania. And the vision then was to reach the local community. And over the next several years, the program kind of gained some popularity and spread regionally across North America. But in the 70s, different broadcasters or mission broadcasters were starting up in different parts of the world. And Charlie Byers, who was the founder, was invited to put his program on first in Southern Africa, where there was a lot of former British colonies, so a lot of people spoke English, so the program was understood. Mm-hmm. But then they also put on in India and began to translate it, and soon found that people really respond best to the gospel when they hear it in their own language.
Mm-hmm.
So that began a transition, and over the next several years, then, they began to broadcast more in indigenous languages. And when I joined the ministry in 2001, they were struggling with this issue of, do we keep going with our English program, or do we keep going overseas where God seems to really be blessing our ministry and where there is an incredible need.
Mm-hmm.
So since then, what we've done is we have stopped our domestic radio program here in the U.S., knowing that there's a lot of good quality Christian radio programs here that people can access. And we now concentrate on helping ministries around the world to produce radio programs in their own language to reach people with the gospel so they can realize that God speaks their language.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredibly effective because we help them produce music that's culturally adapted to that culture. So it might be their style of music, both with Christian lyrics in it.
Mm.
And that'll be incorporated into the program. And we're no longer doing any translation of North American ministries. We're now only using indigenous speakers. So they're speaking about what God has done in their own heart and sharing it with their own people in their own language in a very culturally relevant manner. And it is just incredible the impact that it has on people.
Wow. Can you tell me a little bit about how many languages right now that you guys are reaching in different areas?
Currently, we are airing radio programs in 24 languages. The 25th language, we have it produced, and it's not yet on the air, but it's available on some media players for a test market. But those are all spread out. The majority of them are in Asia and Africa. In Nigeria, we have 11 languages there. Mm. In India, we're doing 8 languages right in India. Then we also have 2 in Nepal. We have 1 in Bhutan. We're also in Albania and Kosovo. And then this last one that I just mentioned is in Thailand.
Wow.
Mm. Yeah. That's amazing, the reach that you guys are having. What are the listeners saying? Is there any feedback that you're hearing from them?
We do. And one of the things that we're very conscientious of is that we want to make sure we provide listener care. So we do help set up discipleship facilities and have people on the ground who can follow up with listeners and respond to the correspondence that comes in from the listeners. And we also ask them to send us reports. And so we get translated portions of many of the testimonies that come in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there are so many. They range from people who say they've actually never heard of Jesus before, others who say, I've accepted Jesus, I prayed with the speaker at the end of the program. Some will say they even put their hand on the radio and prayed with the speaker, prayed to accept Christ. And they'll very often say, now what do I do next? Or help me, please send me a Bible or send me some literature or help me know how to live the Christian life. And so the discipleship aspect of the ministry is very important.
Wow. And, you know, I'm thinking about the people who are being persecuted, the Christians, and there's such a rise in that. And I know that it's so important to have faith-filled individuals to stand strong, proclaim God's word.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about the persecution that believers are facing in these areas of the ministry?
Yeah, the majority of the persecution that we hear about either comes from our listeners in Nigeria or India. And here's just one small example. We recently heard of a young couple in a village in India who became Christian through the radio broadcast. And they wrote and shared their story when they became Christian and the neighbors found out about it. The villagers came and evicted them, basically drove them out of the village.
Wow.
And they had no other relatives nearby. They were living out in the forest. Mm-hmm. They said, after a few days, some people from the village came searching for them and said, we think we've made a mistake. Will you please come back to the village? Ever since we chased you away, the water in the well has been bitter.
Wow, man.
And so they'd come back and they prayed over the well and God healed the water. And
that's amazing.
It was an incredible testimony. But to be banished like that, to be ostracized from family, yeah. and very often being prevented from getting water at a well, because in so many communities, the only source of clean water is a shared well in the village.
Wow, man, that's amazing.
But it does go even further. The one time I was in India, I met the widow of a gentleman who was beheaded for his faith.
Oh my gosh.
So it's so much more real when you get there and see the faces. We hear it on the news here.
Yeah.
What's so challenging to me is their faith. When I meet these people in Africa and India, their faith is so strong. There's just no question in their mind. The persecution does not hinder, it rather solidifies their faith.
It propels them, it seems, as they get stronger.
Yeah.
And you know, there are people listening now and they're thinking, wow, this is a great ministry. How can I help besides praying for them? What can I do to help the tide in reaching people through this ministry? What would you say?
Obviously, the greatest need, the need that every ministry has, is finance. And so you can go to thetide.org and choose one of our projects, whether it's helping to pay for a radio broadcast, paying for a discipleship conference, or helping to sponsor a radio. We have people in villages in India and Africa where the entire village lives in poverty and nobody there owns a radio.
Wow.
So, you know, somebody could go to thetide.org, sponsor a radio. We'll place that in a village and they'll use that to start a listening club.
Mm-hmm.
And out of that listening club, they'll get some converts and eventually it becomes a church plant and an established congregation.
Wow. So there are people who would like to get that information. Can you give us again the website and any last minute additional information?
The website is thetide.org. And as I said there, if you log in at thetide.org, there's a list of projects there that we have that you can get engaged in. And getting children's clubs or youth groups to help with that, or even just as individuals who want to just make a donation.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Don, for what you guys are doing with the Tide and reaching people who need to hear the gospel. We're going to pray for those who are listening, and maybe they need Jesus as well today. And so thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Father God, we just thank you for this ministry and many ministries that are doing the work of preaching the gospel to the ends of the world. How do we know that the end is nearing? We know it because when the gospel, this gospel of the kingdom, is preached to the ends of the world, then the end will come. That's what Jesus said. So Jesus, we are continually working forward to pray and to support ministries like this and ministries like you're hearing right now in order to bring the gospel to the ends of the earth. Jesus, we love you, we praise you, and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name.
Amen. God bless you all. Thank you so much for tuning in. You're listening to Real Life.